Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about Jesus. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 7. We had just concluded Mark chapter 6, having talked about some of the incredible miracles that Jesus continued to perform in the presence of multitudes of people. He's fed 5,000 people using 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And miraculously, they had enough food to not only fill their bellies, but to have plenty of leftovers afterward. We've seen Jesus, again, walk on the water and calm a storm. And his disciples admit that they didn't understand at the time. Their hearts were hardened. They could not see the power that was at work for whatever reason. And then we've seen people clamoring for Jesus' attention, just wanting to reach out and touch his garment so that they can be healed. Jesus' reputation, though, has preceded him. Word has gotten around, and some of the most eminent men in Jewish society have traveled from Jerusalem up to Galilee to talk with Jesus, to hear what he has to say, to see for themselves what he was doing. Mark says that the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. Mark gives us just a little bit of background information. He tells us that this hand washing was something that had been handed down from previous generations. This is not something that we find in the Law of Moses. Now, the Law of Moses is contained in the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. The Old Law regulated many parts of Jewish life, from their diet to how they were to dress, to the type of materials they were to use in making their clothing, to how they settled disputes between neighbors. This idea of washing your hands in a special way, though, cannot be found in the Law of Moses. No, indeed, it cannot be found in the entire Old Testament, for that matter. As Mark acknowledges, this was a tradition that had been handed down from previous generations. Now the Pharisees and scribes who saw Jesus' disciples eating with unwashed hands, Mark says they found fault. Jesus is going to use this moment as an opportunity to warn us about the dangers of human tradition. Verse number 4, when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. So this Mark gives us some more information. When they're out in the marketplace, when they're out among the unclean, so to speak, they're very careful to wash their hands. And, you know, in our day and age, we recognize this as just good hygiene, right? This is how we don't spread germs from one person to another. And we're also very careful about making sure we only eat with clean dishes. These are good habits, without question. But the fact that the Pharisees and scribes were critical of Jesus' disciples for not keeping this tradition, that is a problem. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. So here's the issue. Jesus says that insisting on his disciples keeping the traditions of the elders is a problem that's been around for a long time. Isaiah saw it in his day, and he prophesied of this, that it would continue to happen in Jewish society. Notice in verse number 7 what specifically Isaiah warns against. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. There's a difference between a doctrine, a teaching that's from God, and a commandment of men. Doctrine, things that are commandments from God, those are of greater value. What the Pharisees and scribes were guilty of was taking the commandments of men and elevating them to a position where they were equal to doctrine. Jesus goes on to say, sometimes you even lay aside the commandment of God in order to follow a tradition of men. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he elaborates in verse number 9. All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Admittedly, this is going to require a little bit of explanation. Jesus brings up the example of korban. As I understand korban, this was a gift that perhaps a wealthy person could set aside, and they would consecrate this monetary gift and say, this is dedicated to God. Jesus says that this tradition of korban that's been created by the elders, we don't find this anywhere in the old law, this tradition that's been created gives people a way to not have to follow the commandments of God. In the Ten Commandments, the Jewish people were told, honor your father and your mother. And part of honoring your father and mother is looking after them in their advanced age, making sure that their needs are met. When they aren't able to provide for themselves, then we as children or grandchildren need to be sure that we provide for their needs. In Jesus' day, there was this tradition of korban which said, if you've dedicated a certain amount of money to God, then you don't need to worry about looking after your father and your mother. So do you see how a man-made tradition was superseding a commandment from God? To honor your father and mother is a doctrine, it is a teaching, it is a commandment from the very lips of God. But the tradition of korban is from mankind. And so by allowing Jewish people to withhold what was their parents' due through a tradition, they were in fact nullifying the word of God. And that is the problem. As Jesus says in verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. This was just one of many traditions that conflicted with the word of God. Now let's take a moment to consider how that might affect us in our day and age. My friends, I think that this should cause us to step back and evaluate the things we believe, the things that we hold dear and believe to be true. Is everything you believe about God actually found in the Bible? Is everything you believe about Jesus Christ actually found in the Bible? Is everything you believe about the church, how it's organized, how it worships, what its purpose and its intent, can you verify those things that they are found in the Bible? Well, if you can't, if it's not found in the Bible, then what is it? It's a tradition. It's something that man has created. Now, in some cases, those traditions are harmless. But in many cases, those traditions actually conflict with what the Word of God says. For example, I know that there are some churches that believe in only administering the Lord's Supper once a quarter, twice a year, once a year. But the example that we have in the New Testament is that the church remembered the Lord's death every first day of the week. Now I ask you, if it's become a tradition to only observe it once in a while, but what we have in the Word of God is an example of the church doing it on a weekly basis, what should that say to you? What does that say to you? We've got to be careful that the things we believe, the things that we practice, that we actually have some sort of scriptural backing, some sort of scriptural foundation for those beliefs and those practices. And that might cause us to make radical changes in our life, but indeed, Jesus Christ calls us to a radical Christianity. My friends, I invite you, I challenge you to evaluate the things that you hold dear, the things that you believe, the things that you practice, the morality that's in your life. Take those things and seriously compare them to what the Word of God teaches. And if you find areas where the teachings of man are interfering with the commandments of God, then I pray, my friend, you will follow after the Lord and not after men. This is a danger for us all. It doesn't matter what church building we go to this morning or any other Sunday morning of the week. It doesn't matter what name is on that church building. We all need to be on guard against this, to be sure that what we believe, what we practice, what we hold dear, the morality that we endeavor to live, that all those things are rooted in the Word of God.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God requires you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:16, Jesus promises to save those who believe and are baptized. Peter says baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. And Paul says we are baptized into Jesus, united with his death and resurrection in baptism. If you want to learn more about baptism and God's plan for salvation, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.